الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us to worship him. And he has created within us so many amazing faculties. As we've been speaking about over the past few weeks, we are not one whole, but we're actually made up of a bunch of parts. And each of those parts is fascinating in and of itself. We talked a little bit about the mind. You could literally have a lecture on any part of the body, and it would completely blow you away. That body that Allah has created, that body also exists within an environment. And both the body and the environment are fine-tuned so that they interact with one another in the most balanced way. Just as an example, SubhanAllah, it's just amazing. The environment has all these different waves that are present around us. There's gamma rays, there's gamma waves and rays, and there's light waves and sound waves and radio waves, and all of these are at different frequencies. But we only have the ability to perceive within a certain bandwidth. And that allows us to be able to interact with the environment in a very balanced way. For example, if we perceive light, when we see everything that we see around us, it's a very, very small subset of frequencies, or wavelengths, let's say. It's a very small subset of wavelengths that we're actually able to visualize. We're not able to see the radio waves. If you turn the light off, the radio is able to pick up and receive waves, but we're not able to see those waves. And we're also not able to see the gamma rays. Now imagine if you could, in this room, this whole room is full of dust. That's why you're able to see. This whole room is full of tiny, 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 tiny particles, and they're floating in the air. And every time a person sneezes, there's like bacteria coming out of them. There's little droplets of liquid coming out. You can't see any of that. But can you imagine if we had the ability to perceive that, we would be looking around and it would just be complete chaos. Complete chaos. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created our faculties to be balanced in the environment in which they exist. And SubhanAllah, those faculties themselves are amazing, the environment is amazing, and the balance is amazing. All three of those are sufficient to put a person into wukuf for eternity. Just as an example, you have this, there's sound everywhere. Okay? There's sound everywhere. And we only have the ability to hear certain frequencies of sound. We can't hear everything that's going on. We can only hear certain frequencies of sound. Now, how does that, those frequencies, they, these frequencies are sort of bouncing around in the environment, and then they're wavelengths, actually. So these wavelengths come, and they hit your eardrum, and after they hit your eardrum, they cause a little bit of vibration in the bones behind your eardrum, and that hits a membrane, which is full of fluid. And the fluid then begins to vibrate, and the vibration of that fluid begins to stimulate these little, almost like hair, like little hair things that are sticking up. They call them hair cells, but they stick up, they're little nerves, and they move around, and as they move around, that sends a message to your brain, and that's how you're able to hear. So, you know, the example, like I'm just sitting in this room and I'm trying to think, what's the way to explain this? See this carpet? Like this carpet is made up of tiny, tiny fibers. You can appreciate that if you just look at the carpet. It's just millions and millions of these fibers. So inside our ear canal, you know, in the inner part of the ear, you have like a membrane that's rolled up like almost like a snail. And it's full of fluid, and the fluid rubs against these fibers. And as it rubs against these fibers, it creates, you know, if the fiber's standing like this, as the fiber moves just a little bit, it creates a sensation, which then triggers a little nerve, which then eventually triggers a whole bunch of nerves, and all those nerves are then reprocessed, and then an idea of what sound is, or what sound is being transmitted, is then generated in the brain. So it's just amazing. And you know, they say that these little fibers, which they call the hair cells, these little fibers have the ability to detect movement to the extent of one atom. One atom, subhanAllah. One atom, can you know how small one atom is? They detect movement to one atom. Now, you have millions of them, so one is moving like this, one is moving like this, one is moving like this, and there's variation in movement, and based on the place, all of that comes together, and it produces certain understanding in the brain. It produces an understanding of, is the person speaking deeply? Is this person speaking, you know, with a high pitch or low pitch? Is the person speaking loud or soft? Right? Is the person, you know, angry or sad? You can hear all these things in a person's voice. Now, subhanAllah, all that from the environment, you know, is coming in to the brain. The brain is able to receive it in the most perfect way. You know, it has these sensors which give this perfect balance of sound. It comes into the brain, then the brain is able to process it. Okay, subhanAllah, each of those is amazing. You know, one is amazing is that how the environment even produces these waves. Then it's another amazing thing how the body has the ability to receive these waves. Then it's a third amazing thing how the mind has the ability to take that much data and such subtle differences and then recompute that into something meaningful so that we can take benefit from one another. So that we have the chance to say subhanAllah. So that we have the chance to say salam. So that we have the chance to listen to Quran. So that we have the chance to interact with one another. You know, that is just, it's just amazing. Each of those components is amazing. Now, you know, if the environment was out of balance with the sensor, we'd be just completely going mad. Imagine if you could hear, you know, all of the tiny, 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 tiny noises that were happening everywhere. Every time an ant is crawling on the ground, you hear, you'd be going nuts. You wouldn't be able to discern it, right? Or imagine if you could hear all of the noise that's going on in another country, right? There's this balance that allows us to be able to selectively receive what's going on in the environment without overwhelming the system, but in such a way that it allows us to capture the world in a means necessary to be able to praise Allah. It's just amazing. Honestly, just one hair cell. I'm saying that there's millions of them. There's more than millions, hundreds of millions of them. One hair cell, and the fact that it can pick up one atom's difference in movement, that's just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Now, you know, you sit down and read about this stuff and you just get completely blown away. Whether you start reading about the eye or you read about the ear or you read about the brain or you read about the environment, it just completely numbs you. It's worth just taking a little bit of time and just thinking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the tawfiq to hear. Allah gave us the tawfiq to hear. Now, some people can't hear, but the vast majority of people can hear. But how is that happening? It's not random. It's created. And it's created in such a way that it causes the human being to appreciate the grandness of the Creator. So balanced. So perfect. Not random at all. Very, very precise creation. Okay. Now, you know, that is mind-blowing. Just that much, like I said. But then, if you want to take it one step further, what just totally flattens a person, you know, if that's not sufficient, you'd have to be completely numb for any one of these three things, even one thousandth of any of these three things to not force a person to say subhanAllah. But then just think about this. Even if the eye is closed and the ear is shut down, a person can completely recreate the entire environment which they were in. So how is that? when a person goes to sleep and they have a dream, when they're dreaming, they feel like everything in the world is happening the way it was around them. They're seeing, but their eyes are closed. And they're seeing everything so vividly that it's not like a cartoon, like a video game. You know, it feels like a cartoon. It's so real that the person doesn't recognize, am I here or am I there? SubhanAllah. And you know, the eyes closed. There's no stimulus going on in the eyes. There's nothing, there's nobody shooting beams into the eye while the person's dreaming and making them dream. The eye is closed. The environment is off. The brain by itself is recreating that entire scenario in such a real way that the person feels like they're there. They can't distinguish between the dream and reality. SubhanAllah. And it's not just the hearing. They're talking to people in their dream, and you know, they're hearing them as if it's the same person in the real world. It's not just any voice. It's the voice of, you know, my friend is Bilal. Bilal, you said this bad thing to me in my dream. It was you for sure. It sounds exactly like Bilal. The voice is the same. The intonation is the same. The, you know, the depth of the way they speak is the same. The style of speaking, the mannerism of speaking, they can't tell the difference. Is that Bilal or is that my friend Bilal or is this a dream? It's just SubhanAllah. There's no stimulus and the brain is just able to reproduce all of this. And then the same thing with the sight. And it's not like I can go to sleep and I can dream about my house because I'm in my house all the time. A person can go to sleep and dream about a place that they've never been to. And the mind is able to just completely generate the entire picture of what that was. And in such a way that it makes the person feel like it's real. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah, this is just a very, very amazing aspect of the human creation that they can reproduce that environment due to the power and depth of the brain. Now, I was just talking about all this because I was thinking about something else, which is that, you know, this, I'm going backwards. I get so many emails about this topic that people say that, you know, I'm trying to make this decision, I had this dream. Or a few weeks ago, I had that dream. Or I was thinking about this something and, you know, I had this dream. So what does that mean? How am I supposed to act on that? Okay, so the first thing about dreams is that any dream should just be a means by which a person says SubhanAllah. Because the fact that a human being can dream is just completely mind-blowing. It just completely boggles the mind. That how can it be that a person's eyes are closed but they're seeing everything in the world around them? How can it be that a person's, there's no input going into the ears but they're hearing as if the world is active around them? That's the power of the brain and the way that it's been created. And some of the realities of the fact that what happens to the soul when they're sleeping is being uplifted, it's put in another place. But the fact that they can even have a sensation outside of what's quote-unquote, you know, physical sensation is just amazing. So that's number one. Number two, when a person has a dream, there's two possibilities, two big possibilities. Possibility A, it's just random mishmash of the days or weeks or years worth of things that are going on in a person's life. So for example, I don't know, a person's really stressed at work, they have this big assignment due, their boss is bothering them, they feel a lot of pressure, and then, you know, after the assignment gets turned in, they go to sleep and they have a nightmare that the whole assignment was done backwards and their boss was holding them up by their leg and hanging them and shaking them or something crazy like that. So in that particular instance, that is just a big mishmash of everything that's going on in life or in the life around us. So that's kind of like, that's kind of circumstance one. Okay, circumstance two is that the dream actually has some sort of meaning, because we know that dreams can have, that dreams can be very meaningful. Now, obviously the extreme of that is the dreams of the prophets, or are the dreams of the prophets. When the prophets, alayhim as-salam, have dreams,
That is a subtype of wahi. When the prophets have dreams, that is a subtype of wahi. And whatever comes in the dream of a prophet is essentially revelation. So that's one extreme. And then another extreme is that we know that the people of piety, or even just to anybody, but particularly the people of piety, they can have dreams that are very meaningful. And that from those dreams can be taken very important messages. So you have this spectrum of value of a dream. So now the question is, when a person has a dream, you know, and they get beyond the fact that, wow, subhanAllah, how did I dream? When a person has a dream, how are they supposed to determine what the meaning of that dream is? Okay. So if a person needs to try to determine what the meaning of a dream is, one of the ways by which they do that is they go and ask people. So that's number one. If they go and ask people, I think what's very important for everyone in this room to recognize is that there is a principle concerning dreams, which is that, and it's from hadith actually, when a person dreams, the dream revolves around them, waiting for an interpretation. Until somebody sticks an interpretation on it. When somebody sticks an interpretation on it, it settles upon that person. That's established by hadith. Now, why is that important? That's important because it's very, very essential for anybody who ever has a dream to be careful about whom they tell that dream to. Because if you go and tell the dream to just like your neighbor or your friend, and they have no idea what they're doing, they could potentially make a negative interpretation of something that's positive, and that negative interpretation could be harmful to us. So, you know, a lot of times people have dreams and then they'll write me an email. I had this, some long email about some dream. And then there's something else is in the email. I say, okay, let's just talk about it on the phone. It's hard for me to respond. My fingers, you know, are going to fall off. So I talk to them on the phone and then they'll give me more detail. They'll say, well, you know, I had this dream. I told my mom said this. Then I told my brother said this. And then I told my aunt, but my aunt said, no, it's this. So I'm really confused. Can you tell me, is it this, or is there a that? Okay. So at that point, I just say, look, let's not get into this because this is a complicated circumstance, but I'm just giving you some important basic principles concerning dreams, which is that when a person has a dream, they should not share that dream. That's dangerous until you've thought through the whole situation. Now, if you know somebody that can interpret dreams, that's a different story. But I'll just talk about that. That's coming next anyway. So that's number one. Number two, when a person has a dream, we should also recognize that dreams, there are people who can interpret dreams, but the science of dream interpretation is one of the most intricate, subtle, delicate sciences on the planet. Listen very carefully. Dreams can be interpreted when they're not just a bunch of mishmash. But the science of dream interpretation is one of the most subtle, difficult sciences on the planet. Very, very, very few people can interpret dreams, and the recognition of who can interpret dreams is almost impossible because they don't advertise on Yelp that, you know, I had my dream interpreted, 365 people gave me 5 stars. So you should come and have your dream interpreted as well. I mean, there are people that do that probably, but you certainly don't want to be waiting in line at their offices. So anyway, the point is that it's almost impossible to recognize who can interpret a dream and how. So instead, our mashayikh, they have one very big... So this is all these complexities, right? Is a dream real? Is it not real? Does it mean something? Does it not mean something? If it means something, is it good or is it bad? You know, if there was this in my dream, should I be doing this or should I be doing that? Look at all the variables and how complex it becomes. So our mashayikh, they solve this whole puzzle with a very simple principle. Very simple principle. They say that you should never have your dream interpreted. You should never have your dream interpreted. And you should not share any dream. The only thing that you should do after you have a dream is you should make the following dua. O Allah, just roughly, I'm translating. You know, there's no set du'a. I'm just saying, just giving you an example of the gist of it. Oh Allah, whatever I saw in this dream, what is good in it, allow me to receive it. What is bad in it, protect me from it. And whatever message is to be taken from it, make it clear to me. And then drop it. So just put it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, whatever bad is in this dream, protect me from it. Oh Allah, whatever good is in this dream, grant it to me. And whatever lesson is to be learned from this dream, make it clear to me. Okay, now what more do you need? So now this dream is relegated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to worry about it. You make dua to Allah. You turn to Allah. Everything that's good will come to you. Everything that you need protection from will be, you'll be protected from. And every message you were supposed to take will become evident to you. And that's it. You move on. Now, you know, with time in your heart, you can reflect on that dream. You can continue to think about that dream. If it was just some mishmash, hopefully it'll just go away. If it was something dominant and clear that needs to be become firm in your heart, then it'll stick and become firm, and like a seed, it'll eventually grow and it'll become something much more than what it started as. And that will be a message to us. So this is the general principle concerning dreams. Now, one other thing. In the context of that interpretation, now you're left with an interpretation, right? In the context of that interpretation, you can seek guidance. Okay, for example, one thing that's very important in interpreting dreams, which every scholar should be able to tell you, hopefully every scholar will be able to tell you, is whatever the interpretation is, maybe we don't know, which, you know, it's a tough science, like I said. But one thing we do know, a dream can never supersede the Sharia. Right? So it can't be that, in my dream, I saw that I was doing something haram, so I think I need to go do that haram thing. No, that's not possible. Because dreams are dreams. They could be garbage, they could be mishmash, they could be anything. And we're not prophets. So our dreams are not like absolute true, type quote-unquote wahi. It's not possible. So our dreams can never supersede the basic tenets of the Sharia. So that much we know. Right? After making this dua, which, you know, we start with, that's the first step after having any dream. Then within the context of the Sharia, the rules of the Sharia and the Sunnah will always supersede. Okay, what do I mean by that? I'll give you the classic example. This always comes up. Okay, person is thinking about getting married and now starts having a lot of dreams. You know, so they have a lot of dreams. And in the context of those dreams, they're starting to think that I should marry this person or I shouldn't marry that person, or I should select this person or I shouldn't select that person. So here's principle one. Whatever it is, I mean, obviously we should relegate it to Allah. That was principle one. Principle two is that in no way, shape, or form should the dream ever allow us to supersede the bounds of the Sharia. Whatever the rulings are, okay? So, for example, person says, well, I want to get married, but my parents are dead set against this person. Okay? Well, I mean, the parents have a right. I know we don't want to hear this type particular topic, you know, but the parents have a right. They have a right of refusal, right? Now, I'm not saying don't get married. They're just saying this one particular person, I don't think they're the right person for you, right? So we don't have a right to supersede our parents' wishes and just say, well, I had a dream, so what do you know, Mom? You know, you go and you ask Allah to give you a dream, you know, too, because this is, this has to be from Allah. So you can't take something and interpret it in such a way that supersedes the basic tenets of the Sharia, which, you know, the parents' view or role, you know, so long as it's within the guidelines of the Sharia, you can't just supersede that. Okay, so that's an example. Now, then the next thing is that the Sunnah also establishes some very, very basic rules about marriage, right? So you should look at A and then B and then C and then D. And the Sunnah has some very, very specific guidelines concerning that, which, you know, very, very clear, and everybody is obviously aware of them, right? So that also, the dream doesn't supersede those. We don't just say that, well, you know, I know the Sharia says I should look, the Sunnah says I should look at the piety of the person, but it really doesn't matter because I had this dream and everything is going to be fine. No. you still have to say, okay, here's A, I have to cross-check A, which is what, you know, what are the halal and haram in this situation? Here's B, I have to cross-check B. What is the sunnah in this situation? Here's C. Okay, now once I've done those, and now I'm left with the things that are neutral and equivalent and there's space to discuss, then at that point I can take, okay, now what is this dream trying to tell me? So in the end, although people have dreams and although they're vivid and they, you know, they feel so real and they feel so true, dreams are bound. We're still bound by certain rulings when it comes to dreams. And everybody has dreams. I mean, most people have dreams. Everybody has some dreams. Some people have more, some people have less. But this is such a common email that I get. You know, I was trying to select which job I should take. I had a dream. I was thinking about marriage. I had a dream. I was thinking about which house to buy. I had a dream. I was just sleeping in my bed and, you know, I had this dream about this. And so now I'm thinking, you know, should I even be pursuing a career? Should I go off and study somewhere? I mean, that's, there's benefit in dreams. And there's validity in dreams. But the problem again is that there's haziness in dreams as well. And there's potential for misinterpretation in dreams. So basic, very, very, very basic principles. Number one, when a person has a dream, it should just force a subhanAllah from their tongue. And how is it that my eyes were closed but I was seeing? And how is it that my ears were closed, quote unquote, but I was hearing? And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And it's just a very slight taste of the fact that the akhirah has a whole different set of wavelengths, you know, if I could say it that way. It has a whole different set of wavelengths which will just completely flood the system in a whole new way. So that's number one. Number two is that when we have a dream, we should be careful about relating that dream. We should be particular about relating that dream because it sits on us and doesn't settle until an interpretation is made. And we don't want people to make a bad interpretation. You know, like, oh, you tell your, oh, you know, I saw this dream and there was a fire in my backyard. And the guy says, then you tell your friend says, oh man, your backyard must be your life. And that's probably your akhirah. You know, I mean, that's not the kind of interpretation you want. You want an interpretation of goodness. You know, the person says, oh, there was a fire in your backyard. Alhamdulillah, it wasn't in your house. So, you know, you get a chance to react and run. So, you know, there must be a little thing festering in your life that maybe is, you know, you should just think there could be some evil. Just reassess your whole life and ask if there's anything haram going on and try to rectify that thing. That's a whole different interpretation than, oh man, you know, you better watch out, you know. So anyway, that's number two. And number three is that we should relegate these matters to Allah. We should relegate these matters to our Lord. Because really, honestly, only Allah is all-knowing. So it's very easy to say, Ya Allah, you gave me this dream. I'm your servant. I'm grateful that you gave me this dream. And I would ask that you grant me whatever good is in this dream, that you protect me from whatever evil is in this dream, and that you guide me to whatever this dream was meant to guide me towards. And then after that, now the dream is settled, hopefully. Now, if you have a scholar or somebody who has some experience that can give you some basic guidelines, you know, to make sure that you don't overstep your bounds, then maybe there's some room for discussion. Then maybe there's some room for discussion. But I can tell you that our mashayikh were very particular. Anytime somebody would come with a dream, they would say the same thing. They would say the same thing. Look, I'm not a dream interpreter. And finding a dream interpreter is a very difficult thing in this day and age. May Allah grant you whatever is good in it. May Allah protect you from whatever is bad in it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you to whatever it was meant to guide you towards. This would be the dua of our mashayikh. So if the mashayikh are making this dua, then who is, you know, Bilal? Who's the neighbor? Who's the friend? Who's the sister? Who's the mother? You know, in the context of understanding. Obviously, they have their own status. I'm not questioning that. But in the idea, in the background of understanding what a dream is. So these are, and then finally the point was that, you know, when we try to act upon certain facets of a dream as they settle in our hearts and minds, that should never override the Sharia. We are not, the wahi is wahi, it's established, and we are not prophets, we have no ability to gain wahi. So we cannot just now come up with our own interpretation that supersedes the, you know, Sharia and allows us to do something haram, or somehow you know, makes, for example, even makes halal haram or haram halal. I mean, we don't have the right to do that. And even to supersede the sunnah, dream cannot supersede the sunnah either. Sunnah is sunnah. Sunnah has its own barakah associated with it. It far supersedes anyone's dreams. So if a person needs to make a decision, for example, about marriage, they should look at what's halal, they should look at what's haram, they should look at what is sunnah, they should follow the outlines of the sunnah regarding that issue. And then you come to this very, very far place, which is the dream. You know, far from the edge of the decision, far at the edge of the decision, which then allows us to be able to decipher some subtleties and nuances in a decision. But the vast majority of decisions get made up in, you know, very, very straightforward ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the miracle of vision and the miracle of hearing. May He make us amongst those who are able to who receive good dreams and dreams which bring glad tidings in this life. May He protect us from evil that is present in dreams, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to those things which are best for us to be guided to. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.